State, AJA DeBonta's halftime welcome, and the latest on Yegor Demin's injury timeline. ESPN's Fran Fraschilla joins us to discuss what message BYU sent by signing DeBonta and his impressions of this year's team.
BYU men's basketball assistant coach Brandon Dunson in studio to break down last night's win over Fresno State and just what it took to sign AJ. And speaking of the number one recruit in the country, we'll play back AJ's first interview as a BYU Cougar from last night's game.
It's a whole lot of AJ. It's AJU here now. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Thursday, December 12th, I'm Jerem Jordan. He is halftime entertainment analyst Dave McCann.
The first order of business, if I were to have that job, more victory laps.
Yeah.
There's enough student athletes on campus doing things. Just send them out and have them walk around the floor. And so we saw a victory lap last night that we've never seen before with AJ DeBonta. He came out at halftime and gave high fives to the Rock, expressed his gratitude. And this was really a unique moment. And as Blaine and I were watching it there side court, you couldn't help but think of a couple of things. The response was due partly because he's the number one recruit in the country, and he chose BYU for what the announcement did for BYU basketball in one day that had never been done in the history of the program. And then also he is a visual of what Kevin Young wants to do with the basketball program. So those three elements with the crowd, the young and the old, were given a standing ovation. And I couldn't help but think that all of this is captured in this one moment for this 17-year-old kid as he took a victory lap.
Pretty awesome. Yeah. And BYU fans and Cougar Nation could rejoice together at halftime of this game over, hey, AJ's here. And he's been to several games, by the way.
Right.
This wasn't his first game.
But
he's
this
been
was
to a
the
bunch
grand,
of
right?
But this was, hey, we can talk about you. We can show highlights. And they played a montage prior to that. How about the celebrities that were at the game last night?
It was a
That was pretty
who.
Fun.
Yeah.
Utah Jazz head coach Will Hardy with Ryan Smith. I know Utah fans certainly loved that one. Then you had Kalani Sitake in the house off the extension. You had Fran Fraschilla of ESPN. We'll talk to him later. He was in the building. Elder S. Gifford Nielsen,
yeah,
or Giff, from BYU.
Elder and Clark Gilbert, the commissioner of church education.
Absolutely. It was a who's who's. How about AJ in the Rock? BYU basketball already put out a mic'd up segment with him. It's out. You can watch it right now. Fantastic. We already have AJ content.
There's so much AJ BYU content since the second of that announcement. I was thinking the other day, if you put a dollar figure on the PR, the bounce, the publicity that BYU basketball got in one day from this young guy, I don't even know. It would be staggering. It would be staggering what the value of that announcement has been and will be in the months and years ahead from AJ. And when you talk to him, he's all 17 right here. You know, his body and his skills are a few years down the road, but he's just a kid. And you could see that there was sincere joy as he walked around that place last night.
It was awesome, man. And you're going to hear from AJ coming up later, Spencer's conversation mid-game with him, which aired last night. In case you missed it or you want to see it again, we have that for you. So with that in mind, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Down floor, Cannon catching, sees a lane and throws it down!
AJ DeBonta signs with BYU.
Like I said, welcome home, so I'm here. It's going to be my next home.
Boost for three! To Kayva Kata, who throws down, and there is career assist number 300. Trevin Nell, 4 for 6.
Oh, it was a fun night last night in the Marriott Center. What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. BYU, oh, by the way, played a basketball game last night. They beat Fresno State 95-67. Nice bounce back after Providence, Dave. Is BYU back on track after the 28-point win?
Well, they're certainly feeling much better than last Tuesday, right, when they got routed at Providence. Before the game, Kevin Young met with us before our broadcast and laid out what they wanted to do, and defense was number one. Mm. And that's what we didn't see back at Providence. That was the big concern and the focus in practice. And they came out and they played better. They were in the spots they were supposed to be in. Fresno State is not a great team. This was going to be a separation, just like we saw. But it was ability for Foos to be in the right place, for Cabo to be in the right place, for Dawson to be in the right place, for Dallin Hall. Defensively, I thought this was a really good bounce back for them. The points were going to come, and they had balanced scoring and all of that. But defense was the first thing out of Kevin Young's mouth when he talked about the to-do list.
35% shooting allowed is a great number, 67 points to the defense. Offensively, after shooting 33%, you want to see BYU put the biscuit in the basket. Yeah. They did at 55%, 41% from three. Both those are the second highest of the season. Six players in double figures, so it was nice distribution. This team shares the ball. It moves. Trevin Nell with the double-double, where'd that come from? He had never had eight rebounds in a game, Dave. So he gets to 10. He has 22. It was nice to see him knock down some threes. Kenny Catchings was way more aggressive off the bounce. I loved, obviously, his behind-the-back crossover, high off the glass. Was awesome. His dunk was great. Still struggled from 3-1 of 7, but he's still figuring that out. Plus 23 in boards, plus 20 in paint points. All good things. BYU's playing good basketball. This is the performance they needed to have against a Fresno State team that they were favored highly against, and so they covered that, and feeling good with AJ in the house and all these celebs and this performance. Obviously, no Yegor Demon is disappointing, which we'll address in a moment, but without him, I thought Dallin Hall had a nice game, offensively inserted himself in spots, because that's important. He missed four games. He's kind of catching up still a little bit.
It's almost like they traded spots, right? Mm-hmm. He was out, Yegor was in. Now Yegor's out, now Hall's in.
Yeah.
I thought it was very significant for him. He played 31 minutes last night, 13 points, four assists, two rebounds. Started slowly, quietly on offense, picked it up, hit three threes. Second half, he had two drives to the basket where he finished at the rim. That's the Dallin Hall we saw last year. That's the first glimpse of Dallin Hall we've seen this year. And going into the Big 12 again, that's the Dallin Hall that BYU's got to have. So when Yegor comes back, now he's got Hall really kind of the way they thought he would be before his injury in camp. Two dominant guards, one with experience in the Big 12, and then one who's an outstanding freshman who's going to learn real fast. So at the end of it, I thought that was that one, and this Saturday and next week against Florida A&M are enormous for Hall, more so than maybe anybody.
Yes, he's got some catching up to do. He's got to kind of get into a rhythm. And then there's even going to be some space, I think, where he and Yegor are still figuring out what is the dynamic here. It's a good problem to have that you have two capable point guards. The junior, collegiate, experienced, older Dallin Hall, and then the top 10 pick projection, Yegor Demon at 6'8". This is awesome.
When you have a group of guys that could be in charge and they're wondering who's in charge, that's better than no one in charge.
Yes, better than everyone looking
like,
at each other going,
who's
going
to be in charge?
What's going to happen?
Especially on out-of-bounds plays, right? Who's in charge? And we saw that a couple times last year where we weren't sure who was in charge. This is a talented bunch, and I think we're starting to see a little bit. I thought it was an eye opener at Providence of this team's capable of not hitting a shot. They're capable of not playing defense, and they're capable of getting overwhelmed in a hostile arena. Okay, so's everyone else. So they come home, they do the same thing to Fresno State last night that had done to them at Providence, and now the next time they go on the road, which is going to be Houston, early in the year, they will have seen it, done it, experienced it, don't like it, so here's how you avoid it, and then that's the growing process into this mega conference. It's going to be awesome.
And I think, yes, BYU had three previous challenging games, and now they have a couple of games that they should win, but that's I think that's a good thing for BYU. Certainly you'd like, hey, be challenged and strength is good. That will come in the Big 12. You don't need to add a ton in non-conference. Although, I think next year with AJ DiBonsa, that BYU's non-conference will be much more challenging. I think there will be made for TV games.
Yeah.
This year, not so much. Beat Wyoming at the Delta Center Saturday. Shoot a bunch of NBA threes because that's where the line is. And then, of course, Florida A&M on the 20th. And then you're in conference play on New Year's Eve.
The difference, I think, next year will be the phone calls that come that say, hey, we'd like to put you and Duke at Madison Square Garden, as opposed to Kevin Young and his staff going, who can we get? Who should we play?
Right.
And you got to balance that out. And I think that they will lean for a tougher slate. I think if they could have done this year's schedule over again, they'd have gotten some tougher games early and not wait till Providence to kind of get punched in the mouth a little bit.
I'm okay with it because it's year one in college for Kevin Young and the staff. Yeah. It's year one for Yegor Demon.
And I think it was purposely done that
way. Yeah, yeah. I'm totally okay with it because you had three challenging non-conference games there. And then again, the Big 12 slate is going to be plenty tough, trust me.
But next year it'll be a tough November, tough December, and then – but would you want it any other way? It's been so the other way for so long that this is the new way.
Yep.
And there's that element of surprise, and it's like Christmas morning type stuff where what's under the tree? You know, what's going to happen with this basketball program? Everything good, it seems. And then that's the...
All good vibes right now.
Yeah, yeah. Excited. There was a vibe last night.
It wasn't just a Fresno State game. It was much more.
Yeah, I think Fresno State was like, hey, we're here. We're the other team here tonight. Yeah. And, you know, for a little while, they played really well. You know, they played as good as they played during the season. But
kind of first quarter, if you will. It was fun to hear from Steve Cleveland last night, too.
Yeah.
Coach Pope, that was great.
It was like a homecoming of sorts.
Yeah.
Yegor Demin missed last night's game. He's going to miss Saturday against Wyoming. Questionable for Florida A&M. Expected to be back for Arizona State. They're calling it a knee contusion. He suffered it on the first play of the game at Providence.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and played quite a bit in that game. Shot 0 for 10. Maybe that had something to do with it.
Perhaps.
We think
you
jack your knee up, then something's not quite right on your shot. Are you concerned with how long he might miss?
No, it seems to be pretty precautionary from every indication and conversations I've heard. BYU plays 3 games in 26 days. This is the perfect time to kind of rest him. You don't have a big-time opponent that you're gearing up for where you feel like you need him. So, no, I would rather him be healthy and ready for the Big 12 than anything else.
I talked to him before the game last night. Man, he wanted to play. And he said he's going to be fine and can't wait to get back. Asked him about all this AJ stuff, and he goes, it was amazing. It was just an amazing thing. And then he said, all my friends have been texting me going, you have to come back next year to play with
this
guy.
He's like, let's calm down. It's been 8 games.
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
But he's got that gleam in his eye that he's ready to play. And I think he hates sitting out.
Mm-hmm.
And he hated not playing last night. He loves the crowd and the rock and all that stuff. And that'll help hurry him back. But what BYU needs is they need him for 20 games in the Big 12, starting on New Year's Eve against Arizona State. Yeah, I'd love to see him against Florida A&M just so we can stay in the groove, keep getting better each time out. But he's a special player.
And yeah. Let's worry about Big 12 play more than we worried about, Wyoming and Florida A&M, right?
Yeah.
So, and the biggest games are in March when BYU hopes to compete well in the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament. So, okay, our poll question of the day is this. Which BYU basketball storyline had your interest the most last night? There was a lot going on. 28-point win over Fresno State. Trevin Nell's double-double, Yegor Demin's injury, A.J. DeBonce's halftime welcome. A.J. wins at 45% so far.
Yeah.
Next up, 20%, the 28-point win over Fresno State. Ben Peterson on X. The game and Yegor's injury, we have a lot of time to think about the future, but they are playing games right now. It was fun because we had a taste of the future and the present as we took it all in.
There was a moment in that game where Kevin Young calls a timeout, and the teams huddled up behind him. So here's the team, and then there's a couple of rows behind the bench, and then you're up into the seats, and there's AJ and his dad, Ace. And you can just see the present and the future and the past. Steve Cleveland is sitting over there in the expensive seats. So, but just that dynamic of this is now, this is coming soon, and there's not a lot of space in between the two.
And there was an NBA coach and an NBA owner. So it's like, and that's the future later. Who knows where he lands? He said Spurs and Magic are the systems that he would fit into, but who knows what the Jazz are looking like
so
in a couple
after
of years.
The game, Kevin Young and Will Hardy and Ryan Smith are sitting there having this long conversation.
That's
together.
A powerful group.
Just
right
the
there.
Three of them, and we sat there and we thought,
what are they talking about?
What could
about?
They possibly be talking about? Yeah. But hey, that's the world we're in.
Absolutely. Continuing to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Here's something else that's interesting, speaking of hoops. Ross Dellinger reporting yesterday, NCAA President Charlie Baker says progress is being made around expanding the NCAA tournament to 72 or 76 teams, up from 68. Are you in favor of expanding the big dance?
There's probably a point of diminishing returns. I don't know that I want it to get to 96 and we have a whole full extra round per se. The Onion Sports, like 15 years ago, did a funny thing where they're like, it's expanded to 1,096 Dallas Roberts Hare School versus this trucking company. No, we're not going that far. But if you're saying 72 or 76, basically that's a first 8 or 12 instead of a first 4. I don't know that that's that big of a deal. I'd be fine with that. I'm not opposed to it. You'd bring the bubble further down, right? But in that case, I hope BYU makes the NCAA tournament every year. We've been at a point where we thought, okay, every kind of 2 out of 4, that'd be great. Obviously getting in the Big 12, you're like, well, every year would be nice. But if it went to that, it'd be like, there's no excuse for missing now.
No. You go to 76. I look forward to the debate of who was 77 and how they got left out. And they got ripped off.
And the losing overall record.
It's a disaster. I love it because I'll watch. You'll watch.
You would love this expansion.
If they expand it, we'll watch. And that's why they would expand it.
Yeah.
Because we watch.
Yeah.
We had just gone through all the conference tournaments where we watched some of the worst games ever. Right? Between those seeds that are at the bottom of these things. But they're on TV, so we watch them because that month belongs to basketball. And so if you add, I mean, Tuesdays, the play-in games, or the first four, mm-hmm. They're only good if they're good matchups, right? It's like, oh, hey, Texas and such, well, I'm going to keep an eye on that.
The 216 seeds duking it out can be compelling TV.
No, but if you add it now to where there's a handful of teams playing, then maybe your team's in there. Or teams that you're familiar with or from your league.
True.
But it's on. We want to watch sports. TV wants live stuff. That's the only thing left, right? All the regular, that's gone to Netflix. The network TV needs stuff that hasn't had a scripted ending because we watch that stuff. We certainly watch it with football. And the bet is that the big dance is such a big thing. Well, more is more as opposed to more is less. So I think for sure they're going to do it.
You know,
if they make money, they're going to do it.
The big winner here would be True TV because they're the ones that would get the first.
How many of us have never even heard of True TV 12? until we were on it?
You remember it's on every March. You go, oh, yeah, that.
True TV.
Reddit CFP posted this graphic on X earlier this week teasing what a college football playoff NIT bracket would look like. Are you a fan of this idea? Because BYU would be the 3 seed in this.
I'm not such a fan of this one for some reason. We just talked about the other one that I am a fan of. This one, you want to be in the 12, and maybe the 12 expands a little bit down the road.
Undoubtedly to 14 playoff. Or 16, right?
Yeah.
In a couple of years.
And that's the group that really should be in. I didn't think BYU should have gotten in this year the way they finished.
Agreed.
But I love that they're in the Alamo Bowl. Against a team that's motivating on a primetime ABC, Deion's. It's going to be the most watched bowl game, non-college football playoff game,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely. It might be the most watched BYU football game ever.
Maybe ever.
Yeah. Colorado is going to help a ton with that.
We know
you can have the Heisman Trophy winner
probably.
It's going
to be the richest. It's going to be the richest bowl game they've ever played in, bar none.
You're saying it's more than independence in 21?
Just a tad.
How dare you?
just a couple of zeros.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I need a football NIT.
No.
There's so many bowl games. Let the bowl games be there. And some people thought that the playoff would kill the bowl games. I don't think it will because the bowl games are corporate things. They're advertisements. Pop-Tarts, you know. The Alamo. There's a reason San Antonio's hosting this bowl. The Vegas Bowl wasn't, we want to have, I was there when they created that. It wasn't, hey, you know what? We need a Vegas Bowl. It's, how can we get tourists to come down here in December when there's not very many tourists? Why don't we do a bowl game? Okay, let's do that.
Now you're bringing in fans.
And then here comes business, right?
Yep.
That's why the bowls are going to survive. The playoff is the playoff. It's where you want to be. I don't know if we need an NIT. What do you think?
Yeah, we don't really need this. But you think Alabama's would play in that? No way. They would be like, no.
The opt-outs would be off the charts.
You don't want to be in the B tournament. And if you win that, then what? You know, what is this? In basketball, diluted even more. But no, we don't need this. It's funny to look at, but no, it's all good.
And in the B tournament in basketball, if you're building something, you love the extra stuff.
Yes.
Practice games, whatever.
Sure.
Because you're going to be better the following
Depends
year.
On the expectations you had.
Yeah. BYU basketball with Kevin Young is tonight. Richie Saunders is the guest. So Richie and the coach with Greg Rubel, live studio audience, should be a lot of fun, especially after all that's happened this week. Tonight, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+.
Up next, ESPN's Fran Fraschilla was in the Marriott Center last night. His impressions of this year's BYU team and what message Cougars sent to the country by signing A.J. DeBonta. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group. Serving Utah since 1968.
Let's go. This is a big matchup today.
Sports Nation Game Day is right now.
This was a crazy one.
I'm excited to see the fans and how much noise they can make.
Today is game day.
Let's go.
Kevin Young has brought in five of BYU's top 10 highest recruits ever.
I think BYU is going to have an opportunity to play at the highest level of college basketball.
Ripple effect of this earthquake is going to be residual.
Yes, it is. We are live in Studio B. Juices flowing in Provo with recruiting rankings soaring. It's awesome. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. ESPN college basketball analyst Fran Fischilla now joins us on the phone. Fran, you were in the Marriott Center last night. It was great to have you in town catching up with the staff. AJ DiBonza was there. You timed that perfectly, man. What was it like?
It was great. Got doing a little homework. I talked to Kevin about a month ago, and I promised him that before the Big 12 got underway, I'd make a trip out to Provo. And I've got UCLA, Arizona, in Phoenix on Saturday, and a very easy side trip from Colorado Springs to Salt Lake City and then down to Provo. So I was glad to get to watch the team. Wish I could have seen Yegor, but hopefully that's not a serious injury. And from what I've been told, he'll be back hopefully by the end of the month.
Well, Fran, you did see a victory lap that we hadn't seen before at the Marriott Center with AJ at halftime. As he was making his rounds in front of the crowd and that reception, what were you thinking?
Well, you know, I was thinking, quite honestly, the most upset people in college basketball are the people that used to cheat. Because with NIL now, everybody can be in the game, and kudos to BYU, the athletic department, the basketball staff, that they're able to put together the type of program with an experienced NBA-level coach and a staff, by the way, that's going to attract a kid like AJ to probably play a year in Provo and be off to the NBA as probably the number one or not. I think one of the Boozer twins will have something to say about that, but AJ's a terrific talent, seems like a great kid. And, you know, kudos to the Cougs. It's great for them. It's great for the Big 12.
It's wild, and obviously in the NIL era, as you mentioned, and with Kevin Young's resume and his staff, that BYU can land A.J. DiBonza. BYU's been in the running for guys like him before. When you talk about Chris Burgess in the 90s, Jabari Parker, even a Frank Jackson here locally, they all went to Duke.
Yep.
But in 2024, BYU lands A.J. What does this mean for this program and what BYU can become in the future?
Well, those of us who know the history of college basketball are well aware of the incredible tradition at BYU, the love of the sport by the fan base, the state of Utah. And so I think what it does is it opens up the eyes to the rest of the country and to top-level recruits that, you know, that BYU is serious. I mean, and I know from having coached there, at New Mexico, that when you play in front of 17, 18, 19,000 and have that kind of fan support and get a kid like an AJ or a Yegor Demian, it's incredible. And I think they should probably be able to use this as a push forward for more top recruits. And I think that's good for the program. It's certainly good for the Big 12.
Fran, it's easy for us to paint a big S on his chest and have Superman here for this basketball program, but we've heard comparisons of like the next LeBron James and things like that. Give BYU fans your side of how good is this kid?
Well, he's really, really good. He plays with a great motor. Like if you could put together, I've never said this before. This is first time you guys got me thinking. If you could put the together the tenacity and athleticism of Kevin Garnett and the skill of Kevin Durant, then you kind of got AJ DiBonza. Now, will he be that good? Obviously, remains to be seen. And if he's not, he's still going to be tremendous. But if you could think of Garnett and Durant, that's DiBonza. So that's the first time I've ever said that, guys. So I'm gonna start using that more.
It's quite the statement.
You heard it first.
It's quite the statement, and we love the exclusivity of that. That's awesome. Fran Fischilla of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. This is a BYU team that's continuing to get better, 7-2 on the season. Yegor Demian out with the knee bruise last night. But what did you think of what you saw from BYU?
Well, you know, the great thing about this team, especially when Yegor comes back, is They've got a great good group of veterans. They've got guys that have already won in the Big 12. You know, they shoot the ball extremely well. Kevin's got some really good offensive con. I think it was really good. I'm, you know, one of the silver lining, I think, right now, without Yeager for a few weeks, hopefully, is that, you know, now gets back on. You know, I didn't get a chance to see Dawson Baker last year. Slingers look good. Foose look good. You know, Cannon catching's got a lot of upside, needless to say. You know, I think defensively they're going to probably have to keep getting better. But offensively, they're kind of juggernaut. And I think there's a lot of things to be excited about if you're right now, if you're a Cougar fan.
Fran, this is a program that's picked to finish ninth in the Big 12. Do you still see them right there? Is that an indicator of the other eight in the Big 12? You still see BYU there in the middle? One thing about Salt Lake is there's a lot of cell pockets that you disappear in. And I think Fran's disappeared in one.
He may have. We'll see if we can reconnect with Fran potentially. But, yeah, it's fun to have Fran in the house last night. He picked perhaps the best home game outside of being here for a Big 12 game to attend, given all the hullabaloo with everything going on. It was awesome, man.
So, Kevin Garnett.
And the tenacity of Kevin Garnett and the skill of Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
We've heard all kinds of comparisons, right, which are all flattering. Like the Tracy McGrady. He said himself, AJ said he plays like Shea Gilgeous-Alexander of the Thunder, who's also a jumbo wing, 6'9", with a 7-foot wingspan, and can create off the dribble. And he's got the long two in his game, which by all indications is quote-unquote an inefficient shot. But the fact that he can create his own shot is amazing. He's trying to dunk on everybody. We heard from several analysts from 24/7 Sports. It's awesome, man. BYU's never had a player like him.
When I think of Garnett, I think of NBA championships. When I think of Durant, I think of NBA championship. Big guys who can shoot the three and do all that stuff. And we
can
see
pass.
These video clips. We hadn't heard that description. And I appreciate Fran sharing that with us because I think we're still trying to figure out, well, you know, kid 17, can he really be that good? And so to get
the answer,
opinions
yes.
like that is,
yeah.
And even if he isn't this, he's going to be this, which is so more than this.
Absolutely.
And so I thought his perspective was great. He's somewhere in Salt Lake. And so that's where we're going
to
leave him.
Thanks to Fran Fraschilla for taking some time with us. We got disconnected there, but we will definitely reconnect with him in Big 12 play. Hope he's on several BYU games this year. Fran's awesome. We love seeing him at Big 12 Media Days as well over here.
BYU's back in action on Saturday night against the Wyoming Cowboys. They're going up to Salt Lake. Speaking of Salt Lake, Delta Center, home away from home for BYU. Vegas is the other one. Then San Diego, and I guess you could just go around the country as home away from homes. Cowboys Cougars, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Plus, and BYU Radio. Radio pregame starts at 8 Eastern. And it should be another fun night in Salt Lake.
After the break, AJ DeBonta's first interview as a BYU Cougar as he discusses what his welcome moment was like and what he's bringing to Provo. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jerem. He's Dave. Let's get to today's headlines.
Lots to talk about. We start with last night. BYU beat Fresno State 95-67 at the Marriott Center. Big crowd on hand. Trevin Nell, 22 points, 10 rebounds, first career double-double. One of six Cougars to score in double figures in the victory. BYU back in action Saturday night at the Delta Center in Salt Lake against the Wyoming Cowboys.
BYU point guard and projected top 10 NBA draft pick Yegor Demin did not play in last night's game due to a knee contusion that happened during the Providence game last week. Demin has been ruled out for Saturday's game against Wyoming and will be re-evaluated next week.
I've often contended that Thursday is the best day of the week. because then football comes back and just things start rolling in.
Yeah, Thursday is a fun day.
How about Puka Nacua and Fred Warner tonight? 49ers taking on the Rams, NFC West showdown Thursday night football. On Tuesday, Fred talked about how Puka has surpassed everybody's expectations.
Puka, I knew him before because he's playing with his older brother and obviously seeing him at BYU and knew that he was made of the right stuff, but to see what he's done has been surpassed anybody's expectations.
Two things about Fred. He always drops BYU, which we love in his conversations, and tonight he's going to hit Puka. And that's going to be interesting.
Puka's going to try and block Fred.
And Fred's going to be there.
Yep, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Sticking with the Rams, Nacua was named the Nickelodeon Valuable Player of the Week for his 12-catch, 162-yard performance, two total touchdowns in last week's win against the Bills, which was a crazy fun game. Look at that trophy. Puka been on a tear the last 4 weeks, 33 grabs, 458 yards, three touchdowns. I do miss the actual sliming, though. This is cool, but it's not as cool as the actual sliming.
No one who enjoys sliming more than Puka. This is right down his right down his alley. Ben Barton of men's track and field broke the BYU school record in the heptathlon yesterday despite being sick. Not all the noise came from the Marriott Center yesterday. Scored a total 5,814 points at the December Invitational at the Smith Fieldhouse. Both the BYU men's and women's teams wrap up competition today. We salute him.
That's incredible. Wow. In Yahoo Sports, Ross Dellinger reports that NCAA President Charlie Baker says, quote, progress is being made around expanding the NCAA tournament to 72 or 76 teams.
It's more madness.
More madness is right. Okay, yesterday, BYU signee and top-ranked player in the nation, A.J. DeBonso, was in the house in the Marriott Center, made his first official appearance in front of Cougar Nation. It was awesome. Spencer Linton spoke with A.J. during the game about that halftime welcome and what he hopes to bring to Provo next year.
Dave, A.J. has been a very busy man in the last 48 hours, so let's just start there. What has the last day or two been like for you emotionally and physically traveling all over the country?
I mean, it's been great. I mean, I just wanted to get it off my chest that I was announced, that I was publicly announced. And it just feels good knowing, you know, just letting the world know that I'm, you know, coming to BYU.
What are you feeling as you go back and rewind a little bit to that moment when you were welcomed by the Marriott Center crowd? What was that moment like for you?
I mean, it's fun. Just everybody supporting me. I mean, like I said, welcome home. So, I mean, it's going to be my next home. So, I mean, just like everybody just got to be a family. I like how it's, you know, just a family atmosphere.
You and I were talking about dealing with Stephen A. Smith. Not many people could sit across the table and stare down Stephen A. like you did. What was that like for you?
I mean, it was fun. I mean, that wasn't my first time meeting him, but I mean, my first time being on First Take. And I mean, you just see it on TV so much, but it's just good to be like in the studio with Stephen A. and Molly.
What do you want BYU fans to know about what's going to happen with BYU basketball when you're involved?
I mean, it's already going upward, so I'm just going to keep, you know, making it trend upward. I mean, it's at a good start right now.
You're a good student too, AJ. I think that gets undervalued. So what do you look forward to most about the challenge of BYU for a year and the academics here as well as playing basketball?
I mean, everybody just, like, my mom's like, college is going to be hard. You got to do your work in college. I'm just excited to see, like, what college, like, academics is like. Because some people say it's hard, some people say it's not. So I just want to, you know, figure it out for myself.
AJ, we appreciate the time. Glad you enjoyed the moment here at the Marriott Center. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
AJ DeBonso with Spencer last night.
His point of emphasis, he said he's taking finance classes here because that's going to be important.
That's the most valuable thing he could do.
Yeah.
Is it American Heritage? I would beg to differ. It's how to manage the money he's already making, which, by the way, he has deals with Nike and Red Bull. The Nike contract goes through midway through next season, so he'll be eligible to re-up should he get a huge contract.
You can have stuff now. Yeah, these young kids. He's going to play at Lehigh High School Saturday night at 6. That's the next game with Utah Prep.
Nice.
His first game since signing, making his announcement that he signed last month with BYU, so fans can go see him there. And they play Duncanville, Texas. But it's interesting, and we heard in his comments, he's all in now, right? Last night he was home with his new family, as he described it. And he's going to find out that Cougar Nation is just, once you're adopted by Cougar Nation, doesn't matter where you go in the world, you have a BYU shirt or hat on, you know, you got friends, you got family, you have expectations, but it's all coming in now.
He was at the Arizona football game, and The Rock did a great job of making him feel welcome. Yeah. He mentioned that in a video yesterday. And in the press box, I was headed down, I think at halftime, from the third floor, and I saw Fred Warner, Puka Nacua, Samson Nacua, and AJ hanging out, and I thought, I got to interrupt real quick and just say, hey, said hey to Fred, Puka, AJ,
nice.
Another recruit was there, but yeah, it was like, hey, what's going on at the professional level at BYU too. It's not right. just like, hey, a small college town that you come to and then you go away. Nope, this is big time. Provo's become absolutely big time
and
in all facets.
Down on the field before the game, Steve Young, yep. hanging out with him.
Oh, and hey, what's up?
Yeah, that's got some Super Bowls. So,
Danny was probably walking around somewhere too.
Yeah, yep. yeah. It's like we say, he's in it now. Yegor's in it now, and you can see how much it means to Yegor because he speaks so freely of being here and loving it for a kid who probably didn't know where BYU was on the planet
right?
not long ago, and yeah. now he's like ready to get his driver's license and feels like. Like he's been here forever.
Yeah. AJ doesn't have a driver's license either, we learned. Spencer told us in the postgame last night.
Is that right?
Yeah. So just, it's all good. Maybe he'll get it soon. Who knows?
So AJ turns 18 next month.
Yeah.
Which is why he's not.
He has to get his Eagle Scout first, is what I heard.
Once he gets his Eagle Scout. That's why he's not in the draft next year, because yeah. you've got to be 19 in the calendar year of the draft. Or at least a full year.
Or a year out of high school. School. Yep.
And so it works. The calendar works for BYU because he needs a year.
Yep.
And then he looks at BYU, like he said, like he even said on ESPN, was they can prepare me for the NBA. They got an NBA coach. They got a strength and conditioning guy from the NBA. It's all about
Nutrition.
The NBA. I want to go to the NBA, yeah. so that's where I'm going. And the whole thing was so unprecedented for BYU and for all those other blue bloods to sit there and have to listen to it going, oh, wait, BYU's a player now, big time. They didn't used to be, and now there's a new one. And the Cougars are the new kid on the block, so to speak, even though they've been around for a while.
It's not just throwing a pile of cash at him. Obviously, you got to be competitive in the NIL. Let's not ignore that. But you have to have the right staff to develop you, to get you there. And Kevin Young has lived that life, as he said. So it's very exciting to have AJ here.
To Kalani and Kevin Young's credit, and the other coaches on campus, they recruit with the honor code, not yes. despite it.
Yes.
He's and aware of it. That's a win-win.
He doesn't want the distractions.
Yeah.
It's easy to just focus on ball here.
You get a quality human being coming in,
yep.
regardless of their background, and they sell it right from the start, and they win that way. Kentucky's 10-2 this year.
BYU's got a Jewish quarterback, and they've got a member of another faith from Massachusetts who's the number one recruit in the country signing in basketball. Yeah. There's a place for everybody here. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Hey, if you missed any of our interviews, including the one with AJ, they're all waiting for you at BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app. Get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
After the break, BYU assistant coach Brandon Dunson in the house to recap last night's 28-point win against Fresno State and what it took to get AJ DeBonta here to BYU. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Hey, Makeda with the throwdown. Three-pointer right side, five in a row for BYU to answer. Yegor Deming cleared for takeoff. And Gaffney yes. knocks down the three. Hall, 3 for 5 from three, finding his stroke, as are the Cougars.
Oh, big 28-point win last night for BYU against Fresno State. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. We now welcome in assistant basketball coach Brandon Dunson to the program. Brandon, how's it going, man?
It's going well. Yeah, we had a good win last night, so moving on to the next one.
Good feels, right? Because it wasn't just beating Fresno State. It was, hey, look who's in the house. It's AJ. It's Fran Fraschilla. It's Kalani Sitake. It's all these guys, right?
Yeah.
Will
yeah,
Hardy.
No, it was great. Very electric in there last night, so it was fun.
It was a long time since the Providence game. Probably felt like a year for you.
Yeah, no, for
the
sure.
staff and the guys.
Sure.
So how important was it to come out and carry over what you've been working on in the gym at practice to a live game?
I think that was huge. It was one of our best weeks of practice. We had great focus, and we took a lot of things from the Providence game and were able to kind of narrow some things down and just lock in on those. And I thought the guys did a great job with carryover into the game.
How'd you feel Dallin Hall performed in an opportunity? No Yegor Deming, now a little more time for him to kind of catch up after missing those first four games.
No, it's been great. He had a great game last night, and Dallin's been a leader for us, and he had about 4 weeks off with his injury, so he's been trying to find himself, and I think last night was a great step for him, but we're expecting big things out of him.
Trevin Dale, of course, the headliner, 22 points, 10 rebounds, the most he's ever grabbed in a game. He was feeling pretty good afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, Trevin's been probably our most consistent guy since we got here all summer. He's been a great leader for us, and we expect things like that to happen for Trev. He's the heart and soul of our team. Like him and him, Richie, Dallin, those guys, they've been great leaders for us. Those are our captains. And he played very well last night.
After shooting 33% at Providence, you know that's not going to be what's going to happen every game.
For sure.
You shoot 55%, 41 from three. How gratifying was it to see the ball go in the hoop? The rate you expected.
Exactly. I think it was good, and I think guys were focused on taking the right type of shots, and that's something that we tried to key in on what type of threes we wanted. And obviously, it's not going to go in every night, so I really think the defensive carryover that we worked on all week was huge for us.
So at halftime, you're in the locker room, and AJ is being introduced out to the floor. Standing ovation, thunderous roar. Could you hear it?
Honestly, it's kind of tough at times just because, like for me personally, I'm so locked in. I don't notice crowds. I don't notice any of that once the game starts. And I think we were so locked in. But after watching it on film backwards, I'm like, man, that was insane.
What was it like to obviously he signs a couple weeks ago, but it's officially announced. Yep. He's in the house. What's this been like this week to kind of celebrate all your great work in recruiting?
It's been great. The whole process with AJ was really good. Him and his family, they kind of kept it very, very tight. So we were super excited to get him when he told us he was going to sign. But it's just great to see, even more than for us, but him to get the stress of recruiting off his chest and now just being able to go out and finish his senior season.
Now, you're out recruiting all the time.
Yep.
So when you get word of, say, the nation's number one player or anyone that you spend a great deal of time working on, when you get the, hey, coach, I'm coming, describe that feeling.
Feels great because it's a lot of work that goes into it, the hours that go into researching and knowing what they're looking for and seeing if they're a fit for us, and then proving to them that we're the best fit for them. And a lot of times you get told no probably 50 times as much as you get told yes in recruiting. So it is a good feeling to have it done and to have someone so decorated coming in. But the biggest thing is knowing that you got a guy that's a fit, not just on the court, basketball skills, but just in general.
Can you speak to that, like who he is besides a basketball player?
He is a very, very confident person, but it is not a cocky confident. Like he's just a good human being. A big part of this for him was the family atmosphere that we have here, not having distractions. He's not a kid that goes out and does what the normal star player may do. Like he's very locked in, and I think culturally it was just such a great fit for him. And from a development standpoint, obviously all that mattered as well, but I think that was the big thing, is he felt a family atmosphere and felt like he really, really connected with our staff, our guys, and really the community.
Isn't it interesting how family corresponds to all your top recruits?
Yeah.
Whether it's Yegor or Brody Kozlowski, Xavion State and down in Vegas, who's coming up, and AJ and Cannon, they're surrounded by people who love and support them that are in it for their best interests.
For sure.
And we've met them all, and you can feel it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think not only is it a testament to the university, but who Coach Young is. And, like, everyone that is on our staff feels the exact same way. Like, that's one of the big reason that we all came here. And so it's just who we are, and we want to bring in guys who fit that mold.
In the 24/7 Sports composite rankings, 5 of the top 10 have been signed in the last 8 months.
Yeah.
The top 3 have been signed, plus Yegor. What has it taken to recruit at such a high level for this group to send BYU basketball to a new space?
Yeah, I think obviously support from the BYU community has been huge. Coach Young coming in with his pedigree and the coaching staff that we've brought in, that's been big as well. But I think the move to the Big 12 is something that can't be overlooked as well. Coaches in the past have done an amazing job of recruiting, and now we're able to step it up, one, because of their history and what they've done and created here, but two, the move to the Big 12 allows you to get involved with some bigger prospects.
I think part of the response to AJ's victory lap at halftime was the crowd acknowledging the fact that this program's going places where it hasn't been. Staten is like 29 on ESPN's 100. AJ's one. So you get those two guys. How easier is it to get the next guy
and then the next guy? Well, I think what that does, getting guys like that, is it allows you to get in the door with other guys to say, hey, like, maybe I didn't know as much about BYU, but if they're going there, there must be something to it. And I feel like when we can get in the door and the guy, we truly feel like they're a fit, like, we can compete with anybody. And I think that's what it does, and it just kind of brings awareness to those other top prospects.
We're talking to Brandon Dunson, assistant coach for the men's basketball team here on BYU Sports Nation. Let's talk about non-conference play so far, 7-2 at this point with three games to go. How are you feeling about the development of this team?
Feeling really good about it. I think we've taken steps, and it's new for everybody. It's new for our coaching staff. None of us have really worked together before, and we all have a different, diverse background and are able to kind of mesh those together. And with experience, we can kind of see, okay, maybe we should tweak this. Our players, a lot of them haven't played together. Now, the core group of the returners, that's huge for us, just for them to have a chemistry and our guys buying into that and building onto that. But like where we're at right now, I think we're making some adjustments where we're going to continue to improve as time goes on.
How concerned are you about Yegor's knee?
Not too concerned. It's kind of a day-to-day deal. So I think he'll be back sooner rather than later. I think it's in a good spot.
Good.
It's the morning after Fresno State, but Wyoming's the next game. It's in the Delta Center. It's always funny to watch this game with the college players because they want to shoot from the NBA three-point line. So what's the conversation there?
Well, I don't think it'll be as big of an adjustment for us because in our practice court, we have an NBA three-point line and we have what's called a four-point line for our spacing. So when our guys first got here and they saw the four-point line, which is probably 3 feet outside the NBA three-point line, we were all shooting from there. So they've kind of gotten used to it, of the extra lines on the court. So I don't think it'll be too much of an adjustment.
Look, next will be hot spots. There'll be a seven-pointer here and 11-pointer there.
Right. Yeah.
Three's always been more than two.
Yeah.
Man, if you can get four, try it for four.
And it'll be a fun weekend because Friday the Suns are in town.
Yep.
I know Kevin mentioned he's going to go to that game.
Yep.
Return the favor with Will Hardy sitting nearby, which is awesome. Well, congratulations on an amazing week with AJ and Fresno State. And best of luck Saturday against Wyoming.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all for having me.
Thanks.
Good to have you here. Hey, our podcasts are hopping. John Beck is the latest, and he's a fascinating story. Of course, outstanding quarterback at BYU. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
He found his guy, as the play-by-play goes. We'll put a bow on today's show with our elite voice of the day and today's rise and shout out coming up after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Weigh in our question of the day, which is this: which basketball storyline has your interest the most last night? The leader in the clubhouse in the poll right now, AJ DeBonce's halftime welcome, 45%. 28-point win over Fresno State, 21%. Yegor Demons injury, 19%. Trevor Nell's double-double, 15%.
Yeah, which
it
one
was
do you,
eventful.
Which one do you think? Which
I,
one
I think AJ, really. I think at halftime, he stole the show, man. Like, I think part of that has to do with the fact that BYU convincingly beats a team they should have beaten. If it had been a more compelling matchup, perhaps a win over, let's say BYU played San Diego State or something, and that'd be pretty big too. But BYU was expected to pound Fresno State.
And Yegor's coming back, you know.
It's not a serious
Brandon
injury.
Brandon said they're not worried about it. He's not worried about it. But AJ was that was a thing.
He was there. He was literally a rock star.
Yeah.
Like, there used to be concerts back in the day in the Marriott Center, were there not?
That's where,
like,
I saw the Osmonds.
Right? Kenny, happy birthday to Donnie earlier this week.
That's right. That's
Kenny
right.
Loggins walking out into the Marriott Center like in the 80s. That was the equivalent, man.
I saw Elton John there. It was crazy. Yeah. Journey. Yeah.
Pretty
but
good.
This was one of those.
This is OG Journey.
Yeah, people had their flashlights on their phones last night as he came out. It was it was like a rock star.
When you were at those concerts, probably a lighter, although that wasn't carried around these parts for obvious reasons.
There were no lighters, there were no phones. It was just the band, which was fine.
Our early voice of the day is this, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, CL_living on X. AJ, initials only are the storyline, no first name needed. Just, yeah, it was big time, man. And it was fun to have him have that opportunity. I was hoping that would be the case. And then when it was, I was like, this is awesome.
When we heard he was coming, we broke that thing in the pregame show. And
yeah.
One of the police officers go, hey, we're bringing AJ this way. Really, he's here? So then we got word of that. And then he was going to sit there. And it's like, okay, well, most of the arena didn't know, you know, he was down there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some put it together and some could see, but some are so far away. And so I was like, well, is this, and they were going to announce him. So are they just going to announce him sitting in the seat? And they rolled him out like a king.
Nope, at halftime, it was awesome. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Ben Barton setting the heptathlon record at BYU while sick. Amazing.
Fantastic.
Amazing. Our thanks to our guests, AJ DeBonta, Fran Fischilla, Brandon Dunstan, sorry to Dennis Pitta, ran out of time.
Conversation continues all over social media, and there's a lot of it.
For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout-out to Nick Martineau. Go Cougs.